Good morning. Good morning. Well, that was a little weak there. I know it's a little early, but it's not that early. Good morning. Good morning. Excellent. Excited to be here to worship together. It's always a thrill and humbling to see us gathered together in the Lord's house to worship, to praise His name, and to learn how to serve Him. I'd like to welcome you all to our worship service, and if you are a guest with us or have never filled out a guest card, we have those located in front of you, and we would love for you to fill one of those out. And if you could, place it in the offering plate. We'll have a record of you being here and are excited that you have chosen to worship with us together. I do have a couple of announcements to make sure we're all aware of a few things before we begin our worship service. We have several opportunities as the nominating committee is meeting and preparing for the next church year. It's exciting to see how God is preparing for all the work that is to be done. And there are more opportunities that need to be filled for us to do the work that needs to be done. We have some needs, just to name a few. WMU director, as well as some leaders, some Awana leaders are needed, and there are other spots as well that people are talking and seeing how God is opening up doors for those conversations to hopefully lead to opportunities to serve God in our church. It's wonderful to see how there are so many opportunities in front of us, so we definitely need many workers as well to do that. Also, one other announcement: we have an outreach meeting that will take place right after worship in the fellowship hall. So right after worship, everyone on the outreach committee can meet in the fellowship hall. That will take place just briefly after service. Are there any other announcements we have for this morning before we begin our worship service? No? Well, hearing none, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer to start everything this morning. God, we are so excited to be here in your presence. We know when we gather together, it is you that has brought us here. And Lord, we know that that means you love us and that you want us to love you and to love others. And God, we are excited to learn what that means to continue to grow in your name, to continue to understand what it means to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that the most important part of that is to worship your name, to be aware of your presence, and aware of the way you want to change our lives so we can better serve you. Lord, open our hearts and our minds so we can understand that as we begin the week, showing us how to live for you as you've called us to live for you. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Now let's spend a few moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Good morning. Let's turn in our hymnals to page 634, singing joyfully all four verses of My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Let's all stand.
My country, 'tis of thee.
Thank you.
We'll make sure everyone has time to come on down. Just grab a seat right here if you want to, or sit on the pew right there. We have plenty of room over here if you need to sit down here. Sit right here for me if you would. Thanks, guys. All right. Sit right here for me. All right. All right. Well, how's everyone doing this morning? You doing good? Well, now, y'all look tired. Y'all can't be tired. There's no school, right? Right? How's everybody doing this morning? You doing okay? I hope so. I hope so. It's great to see all of you here this morning. I'm always excited to see you come down. I love seeing the worship bags. I love seeing you smiling, come down, excited to see what God is going to teach us this morning. It's always wonderful to see you do that. Well, this morning, you know, I like to start out with some questions. But before we get to that question, I'm sure you're all aware, you know, that I work here at church, right? And part of work, as everybody else, you make to-do lists. I'm sure your parents have to-do lists at home, have to-do lists at work, right? Everybody usually has some type of to-do list. And I'm going to show you mine. This is just a little example. You know, this is just for maybe a Monday morning. I have some people to call, you see. I have some people I might need to email, or some errands to run for the youth, or some errands to run for you all and prepare the children's sermon, right? And see how there's always a to-do list, and if you don't get to something, you might just put it on the next day's to-do list. And I know, like we said earlier, parents have to-do lists, things that they have to do. So let me ask you, I'm sure at home you might have, maybe not a to-do list, but you might have a chore list. Does anybody have chores at home, things you need to do at home, your parents ask you to do? I did. So let me ask you, what are some of the things you have to do at home? What do your parents ask you to do at home? Yeah. Do the laundry? All right. I love that. Love it. Perfect. Yeah. What do you have to do at home? Make your bed. That is great. What else? What do you do at home? You do the dishes. All right. I love that. This is great. Yeah. Take the trash out. Perfect. What else? What do you have to do at home? Yeah. Clean your room? Yeah. And take the laundry to people's room after it's done. Take out the dog. Good. Y'all have a good long list there. You have several things you have to do. Now, some of those things might be more fun than other things, right? Some things might not be near as fun. And they might be hard to do, right? Well, this morning, we're going to learn how Jesus tells us to work very hard at everything he tells us to do, no matter if it's just really fun and easy or actually if it's really hard. So let's see what Jesus has to say here in Luke chapter 9. In two verses, 61 and 62, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, that's an interesting way to say that when Jesus asks us to do something, he wants us to do it to the very best of our ability. And sometimes as Christians, Jesus will ask us something that's easier to do or maybe even more fun to do. And sometimes he might ask us as Christians to do something that's hard and maybe not as fun. But he's telling us here we need to make sure that we do it no matter what he asks us to do with all of our ability and to the very best of our ability, because it's for Jesus. Okay? So remember that when Jesus asks us to do something, no matter what it is, as a Christian on our to-do list, we're supposed to do it with excitement and to the very best of our ability. Let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for trusting us to do the work you've called us to do. Show us how to always be excited and to do the work you've called us to do to the very best of our ability. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week. Go back to your seats.
As our children are returning, somebody got sick up here. Just go ahead and tell you what happened so you'll know. You won't be worried. I think they're fine now, but that's what we were scrambling. So whoever that, I didn't see the child, but whoever it was, we're going to pray for them. And also invite you to turn to the prayer list. I've got two names I'd like to add to our list. I got a text actually this morning from Brenda Cotton, some co-workers with her, Becky Elks and Tanya Johnson. She asked if we place them on our prayer list. They're having some health issues, so we certainly want to do that. We also want to remember the Esther Lambeth family. That's Barry Lambeth's grandmother who passed away this week, keeping them in our prayers. Bob Mitchell had surgery. Ruth West was here with us today, but we are continuing to pray for her as well. You'll see all the names that are listed here. And I would invite and encourage you to keep these and any others that you might need to add to our prayer list as we pray together. Would you pray with me? God, we are so excited about your presence in this place. And God, the more we seem to find things that might distract us, the greater the blessing. The more powerful the word, the stronger the worship when we focus ourselves upon you. And God, I believe you have a word for each one here today. Strength for life and living. Hope. A new way. A new day. New opportunity. God, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, it changes things. And our prayer is, as we worship today, that you might change us. We lift these names that we have mentioned here today on our prayer list and out loud, and others that are on our heart to you, and ask God that you might intervene on their behalf. And Lord, on this Thursday, it will be the 4th of July and the day we give thanks for our nation and the many blessings that are ours by living in this great country. And so, God, we are thankful people. We are people who are grateful for the sacrifice of so many through our history. And Lord, as we look to the future, we come with some concerns, but a strong faith in you, O God. Grateful that your love is sufficient for all our need. We pray for your glory to manifest itself again in our hearts and in our lives. And in our country. And God, we ask these prayers in the midst of this service of worship, that we might indeed be touched by you on this day, in these moments, in Christ's name.
Keep the flag of freedom flowing.
Thank you, Eternity. Let's turn in our hymnals to page 629. First, second, and last verses of God of Our Fathers. Let's all stand.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give us each and every day. We ask at this vacation time as we travel that you be with us, and as we leave our daily toils and troubles of work, that we not leave you behind and take you with us, and you go with us and keep us safe. We ask that you bless these offerings and these tithes to further our kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
to thank Caroline for playing the flute for us. And she was in the band, I believe, with Tony. And probably some others, maybe. But it's always good to have our young people coming, graduating, coming, participating in the church. She's roping up, I believe. Either that or she's left the building. And I hate to start this without her. She's also a very good soprano. And so we appreciate all of our youth as they grow up and become leaders in our church.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, eternity. Thank you, Caroline and Leonard and our musicians. Indeed, we have been blessed this day. Let me invite you to open your Bibles now to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, In the song our choir just sang, one of the lines said, "You loved my life more than you loved yours." Wow. And through that I have been forgiven and made whole. And my unrighteousness has been made as though it were righteous. And mercy has touched me. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your hymn book, Whiter Than Snow, page 325 will be our hymn of decision. If you just mark that and be ready when we get to that moment. The title of our message this morning is Forgiven. Wow! You couldn't read it like that. But I wanted you to understand that there is no greater concept in all of Scripture than that you and I, who were born into sin, and all have sinned and come short of God's glory, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, who forgives our sin. We've been forgiven. Wow. We've been sentenced to death, and we've been given a pardon. We've been condemned, and rightfully so. And God's grace, as the choir sang, because He loved our life more than His own, gave Himself up and took our sins upon Himself, and we've been forgiven. My goodness, if that doesn't send chills up and down your spine, then you need to spend this afternoon on your face before God. Because His power of forgiveness is the greatest change your life can ever experience. Today in our text, in our series on 2 Chronicles, we come to that place where we all need to be. If you're here today and you don't know that your sins have been washed away, you don't know that your name has been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you're not sure that heaven is your eternal destiny, then I'm so glad you're here today, because today I want you to know Jesus Christ has paid for your sin, and you can be forgiven if you'll receive that, if you'll just ask Him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Wow. The status we all desire, forgiven. God is willing to forgive us of our sins. Those ifs are so important, and we have spent five Sundays on those ifs, but now we're coming to where we need to be, to the gospel in 2 Chronicles, to forgiven. Forgiveness defined is to cease to feel resentment toward or a claim for requital or pardon. And I like the second definition of forgiveness, to grant relief from payment. To grant relief from payment. The wages of sin is death. That's the payment. And you and I have been granted relief through the cross. Well, let's share some truths this morning about the power of God's forgiveness, what it does for us, what it does in us, and what it can do to others. The first truth of God's forgiveness is it reveals our brokenness. Now, not everything's as easy to forgive as some things. In the book, Mere Christianity, I'm always doing these commercials. I hope you'll join us this fall, beginning the first Tuesday in October, when we begin to look at Mere Christianity. But C.S. Lewis, in that book, he says, we sometimes say that one can have a thought, and that's a sin, and that's right. And another can say, and someone else can commit an atrocity, and that's forgiven. And that's also right. The power of God's forgiveness is that it is greater than all our sins. I've met people who struggle with that. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with that. Maybe you're struggling with the reality that you know your sin. And most of the folks that I've known that have really struggle with that. They've had some things in their life that they are so unproud of, but haven't we all? Haven't we all? My goodness. I had a member of my church says if they ever come up with a computer that could somehow process my brain and roll up all the thoughts I've ever had, I'd leave. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be terrible if they come up with that? Not all sin is as easy to forgive, but I want you to understand the truth today that although it reveals our brokenness, God's grace is greater than all our sins. But I am aware there can be difficult times to forgive. I read a story this week. There were three who were deserted on a deserted island. They'd been stranded there for years. They just barely were able to eke out a living there to keep themselves surviving. And one day as they were out, the three of them looking for anything they could find, they ran across a lamp. Don't you love a story that's got a lamp in it? Because you know what most lamps on deserted islands have within them? A genie. Amen for genies. They're not in the Bible, let me just tell you right up. Don't get confused. But this story, this fictional story, has a genie in it. The genie pops out and says, well, I give three wishes and there are three of you. So I guess here's what I'll do. I'll give each one of you one wish. Well, the first one said, I got one wish. I've been stranded on this island for years. I want to go home. Poof. Gone. Second one said, same exact thing for me. I'm ready. Poof. They were gone. Third one suddenly started to cry. Jesus said, what in the world's wrong? He said, I'm so lonely. I wish my friends were back. Some things are hard to forgive, right? They're not all equal. I understand that today we may be standing here in a difficult time, but let's be reminded of what our text tells us. The beginning point of forgiveness is always confession. Remember, if my people who are called by myself will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. I want to give you a powerful truth this morning, a powerful truth. The largest, I've thought about this and prayed about this all week. This is going to be a powerful statement I make. I believe it's true. The largest evidence that we are a believer in Jesus Christ is the way we forgive others. I'm going to say that again. The largest evidence that we are a believer in Jesus Christ is the way we forgive others. I know not all forgiveness is easy. I might could swap some stories of some hard places that I've had in my life to forgive. You might have some hard places in your life to forgive. But I want you to chew on that statement. I'm going to do it a third time. I want you to chew on it really hard all this week. And I want you to challenge me if I'm wrong on that verse or that thought. It's not a verse. It's my thought. The largest evidence that we are a believer in Jesus Christ is our forgiving spirit toward others. Some of us may be feeling a little bit uncomfortable right now because we're struggling with that. I think it's wonderful, and what I have found in my life is that either the one who has done the wrong or the one who has been wrong can begin the process of forgiveness. Have you ever noticed that? And forgiveness is a process, isn't it? I was reading some this week and I ran across a sermon. I didn't read the sermon. I just ran across the title and the text and I knew where the fellow was going. And I'm going to give you his title. His title was Forgive or Go to Hell. It's pretty strong, isn't it? But you know where he got his text from? Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. And Jesus, right after he gave the model prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others, their trespasses. Jesus goes on and gives a little commentary. The only commentary he gives on the entire prayer is on that one point. He says, if you forgive others their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. And if you do not forgive, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So now hear his title, Forgive or Go to Hell. Indeed, forgiveness is what we celebrate as believers. We stand here today professing our faith in Jesus Christ as people who have been forgiven, forgiven of much. Not only does it reveal our brokenness, but it also begins to reveal our condition. I've noticed that somewhere God put into most of us, into our DNA, an uneasy feeling when there's brokenness in our life. Have you noticed that? On this Sunday, the first Sunday after our Supreme Court has handed down rulings, this Sunday, that is the last Sunday before our nation shall celebrate our independence, I've come up with a metaphor for where I am in my world as an American citizen, as an American Christian, and I might say as a Christian American. I think that needs to come first. I feel like one who has a loved one that you love dearly, maybe a spouse or maybe a parent or maybe a child. You love that child dearly and deeply. You love that child with all your heart, you might say. But that child is a prodigal. That child has gone the wrong way. That child is making some bad decisions. You don't love that child any less. But you struggle. A few years ago, in fact, Paul Harvey took up and did it on the rest of the story. A prayer, maybe you've heard it. It was prayed by a minister in Kansas who was invited to pray at the opening of the Kansas Senate. And if I could ask your indulgence, I'd like to read the prayer that Reverend Joe Wright prayed. It stirred this country for a little while. His prayer says, Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness. He's also going to talk about turning from wicked ways. I think he knows 2 Chronicles. We come to ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good. Isaiah chapter 5. But that's exactly what we've done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. Here's what he begins to confess. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused political power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of this state and who have been ordained by you to govern the great state of Kansas. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That was his prayer. That prayer was prayed 10 years ago. I wonder why we haven't heard it yet. Once we realize our condition, we need to make the changes. Forgiveness is when those changes begin to be the most important thing. I've seen folks that needed to forgive one another that when they actually made up, they couldn't remember what the fuss was about. Well, they knew what the fuss was about, but they don't remember why it all went so bad. Forgiveness, wow. Not only does forgiveness reveal our brokenness, and not only in that moment of recognizing and realizing that our condition, but it revives us. Back to our DNA. Nothing weighs us down any more than unforgiveness. Have you ever been riding and somebody just, I mean, you didn't even know them. You didn't even know them. And they express their opinion to you in a negative way. You know what I'm saying. Now, if any of you have done that to somebody, confession is good for the soul, amen. You didn't even know them. And what happened? How dare that person do that to me? Learn to drive, you knucklehead. You know what? You don't even know them. You're never going to see them again, hopefully. But suddenly something inside of us, we know it's broken, and we know that person's angry with us, and we know that person doesn't like us. You see, that's how deep in our DNA, that's how deep in our makeup God made this need to be right. That's who we are, especially when we're a believer in Jesus Christ. And so in that moment, the weight, and then when it's someone important. Forget that person we just, you know, passed on the road. When it's a family member or a neighbor or a friend or a coworker or a fellow student at school, or when it's someone in the church. Wow. Nothing weighs us down like unforgiveness, but nothing frees us like forgiveness. Nothing affects our peace like the need for forgiveness, and nothing gives us peace like forgiveness. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flood that makes me white as snow. Forgiveness. Today you can be that white. You can be that forgiven. You can be that light. You can leave here and say, it doesn't matter what I've done. What matters is what Christ has done. And what Christ has done on the cross has satisfied every sin I've ever committed. Finally, this morning, forgiveness restores that relationship. When forgiveness occurs, relationships are restored. Listen, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. We weren't made to live in houses. We weren't made to live in cars, to drive cars. We weren't made for bank accounts. We weren't made for our job. We weren't made for all the things that the world tells us the world is all about. You know what we were made for? Relationships. Relationships. That's what we were made for. That's what God had in mind. Relationship with Him and relationship with each other. That's what we were made for. What's the key to making that work? Forgiveness. When my people recognize the need, that's when they understand who they're called. My people, called by my name. They humble themselves. They realize their condition. It isn't about all the things the world says it is. But it's about relationship. Then I will restore them, he says. I will forgive their sins. And when your sins are forgiven, you sing. You sing with a different voice. You praise with a different voice. Have you ever sung Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And you just sang it. And then one day you sang it and you paid attention. You didn't just sing it. You weren't just saying the words. You started thinking about God's amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet. How sweet the sound. And then you realize your condition that saved a wretch like me. Wow. Forgiven. Forgiven. It restores our relationship. When forgiveness occurs, we are made as we are supposed to be. When God forgives us, we're forgiven indeed. When God forgives us, we're forgiven indeed. I love the Hemingway story, the Ernest Hemingway story. He wrote, some said, out of a chapter of his own life and some brokenness in his own family relationship. But he tells a story, a little short story, about a dad in Madrid, Spain, who had a son named Paco. In that story, Dad and little Paco have terrible words. And Paco leaves and he heads out. He's too young to head out. He's just a young teenager, 14 years of age. He's headed out to the streets and he's not in good shape on the streets. The dad begins to think about it and he loves his son. He takes a great deal of time and he makes a bunch of flyers in Hemingway's story. And he goes throughout Madrid, the great city in Spain, and he places these flyers on everywhere he can find them. And the flyer says, Paco, all is forgiven. Meet me in front of a certain building at 12 o'clock to noon. I love you, Dad. And all over Madrid, hundreds of those posters are placed throughout the streets. The time comes. Dad is standing at the building. And in Hemingway's story, 800 boys named Paco show up. If you're here today and you're not forgiven, I want you to hear a flyer God has that He nailed to a cross. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're loved deeply. All is well. Meet me here at the altar. Be a part of my house. Love, Dad. Forgiven. Wow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, You absolutely know every heart. You know every need. You know every broken string. And you can fix every broken string. You know every sin. We don't confess it for you to know it. We confess it for us to know it. And your forgiveness. You've told us you would remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. Your forgiveness is life-changing. Lord, if there's one here today who feels the heaviness of unforgiven, maybe it's between another person and them, and it's robbing them of the joy of their salvation, then today, O Lord, may they hear you say, come home. Maybe there's one here today who's never publicly acknowledged you as Lord and Savior. And today your Holy Spirit is inviting and encouraging them to come and receive the power of your forgiveness. You're inviting them to come home. Oh Lord, you know every need. Maybe you're pressing upon someone's heart, someone we need to be praying for. Maybe someone we need to go and call after church is over. Maybe someone we need to see this week and share your grace and your mercy with them. You know every need. And so, Lord, in this moment of decision, in this moment of choices, in this moment of saying things to you as we close this hour of worship that might help us live more like you would have us live next week, then God, oh God, our God, hear us as we pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn is page 325. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him about your walk with Him or about your walk with someone else, as God reveals, may we respond as we stand together. Come join me, Haley. You be seated just a moment. I forgot to tell you first, didn't I? And I'll get that when we get ready to leave. 2 years ago? How long ago? A year? About a year and a half ago, God brought Ronnie and Haley and Morgan to our world. And At that time, Haley came under our Watch Care membership, but she and I have been talking, and through her prayer, she feels she would like to become a full member at Flat Springs Baptist Church. And so she comes today presenting herself to move from our Watch Care to full membership. She and I have talked about what all that involves and what was going on in her world, and we just think that's God's progressing her and her family to this place. So now, do I hear a motion that we receive her into our full membership?
Motion.
I hear motions in second. If you would join me in welcoming her, would you indicate that by saying amen?
Amen.
God bless you. We're so excited God's brought you our way, and this step is just another part. Ronnie, I'm going to ask you if you'll come. We'll stand. Any opportunity to hug somebody, what's wrong with that? Amen? So she's going to meet you at the door, and you just express to her your continued prayer for she and her family. And where's Morgan? Children, if y'all need to get, somebody needs to go, that's okay. Let's stand together. Indeed, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in His peace and in His power and in His abiding presence. And leave today forgiven, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful for Your grace that is greater than all our sin. Guide us now as we leave this place. Help us to be Your feet, Your hands, Your heart, Your mouth, Your love in this community. In Christ's name we pray.
Good.